good morning. And for the record, it's Sunday, September 25th, 2016. Please lie on your back. Given that all of you are already on your back, it may seem redundant, and it is, but please note your contact with the floor. In particular, contact at the back of the right shoulder, what you can make out about how the shoulder rests on the floor, what parts of the shoulder are in contact and what parts of the shoulder are not in contact with the floor. Moving down the right arm in the direction of the hand, how the sense of contact with the floor changes as you move your attention toward the elbow, what part or aspect or side or angle of the elbow is in contact with the floor, how that relates to how the hand rests on the floor, what finger or fingers are in contact with the floor behind the right hand, if fingers, how many fingertips or the sides of the finger, and come to the left shoulder. And consider the similar things there. Where do you contact the floor behind the left shoulder? Is it a kind of bony contact or a diffuse contact? What parts of the shoulder on the left side are away from the floor? As you continue down the left arm, how are the arrangement of the areas that are in contact with the floor on the left different from those on the right? Fingers of the hand, or the, perhaps it's the left knuckle of the little finger that's in contact with the floor? Is the wrist away from the floor, and how does that compare to the right in terms of amount of pressure or arrangement of the hand, arrangement of the elbow, what part of the shoulder blade is in contact? And what about the area between the shoulders? Do you have the sense that the shoulder blades, which are the rearmost part of what we call the shoulder girdle, skeletally, are similarly arrayed on the floor relative to the middle of yourself? Is one farther from the midline than the other? Do you have a sense that one shoulder is more forward than the other? And if you come around to the front of yourself, you can get a sense of how your collarbones are arranged this morning. That is, the clavicles, where they meet the sternum, the breastbone, below the base of the throat. And then you can, as you wish, consider the whole right and left of yourself in contact with the floor, and make similar distinctions as you move down in the direction of the feet, right to left, left to right, and each side relative to your sense of the center line. What's firmly in contact with the floor and what's less so. To read just a few sentences here from it's an older article from the fall of 1979 in the Contact Quarterly. Maxine Sheets Johnston, who was a philosopher meeting Moshe Feldenkrais at about that time, had some very interesting comments to make about his work, which was Awareness Through Movement, it seems. We commonly think of the range of movement in any part of the body as being controlled wholly by the particular muscles which move that part of the body. Hence, the localization of movement and the development and practice of movement patterns which isolate certain body parts. She's speaking in the context of dance and, in some cases, formal dance training, I think, in some of her comments here. If greater range is desired in the hip joint, flexion and extension of the hip joint is practiced. If greater flexibility in the shoulder girdle is desired, movement patterns are practiced which utilize muscles of the shoulder girdle. In other words, in traditional technique classes, one always works directly with the part in which greater freedom of movement is desired. In any one of Dr. Feldenkrais's techniques, on the contrary, one works from time to time with parts of the body which are seemingly unrelated to the part focused on, or at most indirectly related. For example, in a technique centering upon the mobility of the spine and hip joint, again here this is from a dancer's perspective, so some of the language isn't strictly what we might use in a Feldenkrais context. In a technique centering on the movement or mobility of the spine and hip joint, movement patterns involving the head and eyes are performed. When one returns to the rotatory movement and extension of the hip, one finds an increased range, which indeed seems miraculous. That was 1979. Why should movement patterns of the head and eyes increase the degree of freedom and movement in the spine and hip joint? Magic aside, Feldenkrais's work is a living testimonial that we always move as a whole and that all parts are involved in any localization. If no one part moves in true isolation from any other part, then each part must either hinder or enhance the freedom of movement in all other parts. That last is very well put, I think. If no one part moves in true isolation from any other part, then each part must either hinder or enhance the freedom of movement in all other parts. So we may talk about a leg lesson or an arm lesson, and yet in the end they're all Awareness Through Movement lessons. All right, interlace your fingers and bring your hands above your head, on the rest them on the floor. So there's a little space between the head and the hands, the top of the head and the palms of the hands, more or less, about 4 inches. And see for yourself if the elbows are a little away from the floor or contact with the floor. You don't need to change that. And note immediately how the shoulder blades contact the floor a little bit differently than they did with the arms alongside. Now bend the right knee and bring the right leg, the right foot to stand. You can take it just a little bit out to the right side, a few inches, so that it's stable out there against the extended left leg. And now begin to push into the floor with the right foot to take the right pelvis a little bit away from the floor so that the pelvis rolls to the left. And perhaps even pushes a little bit in the direction of the left shoulder across the torso, in the direction of the left elbow. Repeat that many times and get a sense how the turning of the pelvis travels through the body, the torso, the middle of yourself, and how that perhaps changes a little bit of the contact of the left elbow with the floor, or brings the left elbow a little closer to the floor perhaps as you push through the right foot. Note perhaps what happens in the right shoulder, what you note there, or the right elbow. Sense along the back of yourself how this movement of the turning of the pelvis, or which starts with turning of the pelvis, or with the idea of turning the pelvis, travels through the middle of yourself, how it changes the contact with the ribs with the floor, how the ribs on the left come more clearly in contact with the floor. Perhaps the contact with the left shoulder blade changes a little bit. Then extend your leg and rest for a moment. Unfold the fingers and bring them down alongside. And bend the right leg again and bring the right foot to stand. Interlace the fingers. Take them overhead with a little space between the hands and the top of the head. Press through the right foot and turn the pelvis to the left. And this time, continuing the taking up again the movement that we were doing before, also turn the head and look to the left elbow. Sort out a way that this can be timed in a way that makes sense to you. And you can experiment a little each time, turning the nose in the direction of the elbow with the hip or a little before, a little after. So that you sort out a way where the felt sense of these movements of the head and the movements of the hip and ribs become a one movement. Taking the hips to the left and turning the head to the left. note if this changes your sense of the left shoulder on the floor, how the rib cage moves relative to the left arm and shoulder, what happens with the nearness of the left elbow to the floor or the contact with it. And then continue to extend this movement so that as you roll a little bit onto your left and the left elbow comes more firmly into the floor, you turn to the left, keep the right knee facing the ceiling, but begin to look up with the head into the palm of the left hand. So you roll a little bit to the left, the head turns toward the left elbow and then looks up into the palm of the left hand. Note here how the push through the sole of the right foot travels through the pelvis, the spine, how the rib cage changes in contact with the floor, how the head rolls and the chin comes away from the chest to look up in the direction of the left hand. Next time you're on your back, extend the right leg, take the hands apart and bring them alongside and rest. Here on your back, compare your sense of the right and left sides, length of the arm, length of the leg, on each side. See what the contact of the shoulder blades is like with the floor. Draw up the left knee and bring the left foot to stand. Find a spot for it that's a little bit away from the center line. Maybe you'll take the right leg out to the side a little bit so that the legs are slightly spread and the knees in the direction of the ceiling. Interlace your fingers in the non-habitual way. That is, you change the interlacing so that the other index finger would be closer to your nose if you're holding them in front of your face. And take up this action on this side. Press with the left foot into the floor so that the pelvis rolls to the right. And first, leave the nose and the face forward. Make it a small movement to start. Mostly just pressing with the foot to turn the pelvis. See how the smaller movement, how the turning of the pelvis carries up through the lumbar spine, how that turns gradually the mid and upper back and changes the shape of the rib cage. This press goes a little bit rolling to the right and a little bit up through the spine in the direction of the head. Someone. Good morning.
Hi.
Sorry. Could be. Are you looking for a Russell Dahlman? Are you looking for a samba class? If you're at 10:45 or 11?
Oh, no. Yes.
That's where you're from.
Oh.
Okay.
Certainly.
Pause for a moment. I'll take up this action again, pressing with the left foot so that the pelvis rolls to the right and begin to turn your head to the right. The shoulders remain on the floor more or less. They begin to, perhaps the pressure begins to increase on the right, and the ribs roll relative to the right shoulder blade. Though the way the shoulder blade is on the floor may change, the right elbow may move toward the floor back. Something may be happening in the left elbow too. And then extend that movement so that you roll to the right and then look up in the direction of the right hand. Keep the left knee more or less in the direction of the ceiling so you can use it for pressing into the floor. And track that whole movement through the left leg, the pelvis, the spine, turning of the rib cage, how the rib cage turns against the front side of the right shoulder blade, which is actually against the rib cage. The back of the shoulder blade is in contact with the floor, but internally, there's an interior face of the right shoulder blade that the ribcage rolls relative to or slides on. And as you come a little with the nose to the right, the chin moves away from the chest and you look in the direction of the right hand. And next time you're on your back, extend the leg. Uninterlace the fingers. Bring the arms alongside. Rest. And bend the right knee and bring the right leg to stand. Legs are a little bit apart, so that's your... Here, lift the right hip away from the floor and bend your right arm so that you can take the right hand behind the low back. So the palm stays in contact with the floor and you just slide the hand behind the low back. Perhaps it can be a little bit up, closer to the ribs. You find a spot where that's relatively comfortable and the right hand is behind the low back on the floor. And once you've got a spot there, slowly extend the right leg. Leave the right leg long on the floor. When you find a place that's comfortable, maybe the hand is fully behind or maybe it's partly behind the low back, and maybe you, noting where you start here, this will change. So this provides a constraint to the arm, so take care with yourself. There's no requirement to get the arm into any particular position, but in general, the hand's behind the low back, palm on the floor. And here, gently, take the right shoulder forward, away from the floor, and back. So, feel how the contact of the right shoulder blade changes with the floor. Perhaps that the pressure behind the right elbow changes a bit. The whole forearm and the elbow and hand remain on the floor, and the shoulder comes forward and back. get a sense if you notice anything in the front of the right shoulder. Perhaps you get a sense of the clavicle, the collarbone there. And allow the head to turn with that as the shoulder comes forward. Allow the head to roll a little bit to the left. Perhaps you can begin to notice the shoulder comes forward, the clavicle moves a little bit left, which may carry around through that top rib ring to the base of the neck, and so it's very congruent to allow the head to move a little to the left. Pause here for just a moment and leave the head resting as it is with the nose pointing forward in the direction of the ceiling, and just very lightly, perhaps getting a little bit more quick, take the right shoulder forward and back 10 times. Count for yourself. And if it's less than 10 times, fewer than 10 times for you, just know how many it is. Make it a small, light, quicker movement of the shoulder. Whatever that means for you this morning. And when you're done with that, stand the right foot. Draw it up slowly. Press the foot to turn the pelvis to the left and take out the hand. Bring it alongside slowly. Extend the leg and rest. Bend the left leg and place the left foot on the floor, stand the lower leg there. We'll take up the same position on the other side, so press with the foot to turn the pelvis a little to the right, slide the palm along the floor and bring the left hand behind the low back. If you can, you get it under the middle of the low back, but you find out where that can go for you. Is it more out to the side? So it's a little closer to the rib cage or down below. Maybe that changes as we proceed here. And extend the left leg slowly. See how it is to lay here with the hand behind the back. And begin to take the left shoulder away from the floor and back. And allow the movement to travel through the shoulder girdle and allow the head to come to the right. So the shoulder lifts. Maybe you'll note that for you there's a little bit of an arc of some kind in the shoulder, that it comes forward and down a little, or perhaps even comes up a little first in the direction of the head. You can experiment with it. You don't have to make it a large experiment. Just see what it's like that as the elbow stays on the floor, palm behind the back, what it's like to bring the shoulder a little bit forward and a little bit back. Perhaps it's a little different from the other side, very likely. And you take care of yourself by attending to the range of motion, the degree of effort. Keep it a little bit slow. And you can vary the speed a little bit until perhaps you can make it quick and light and count 10 movements of the shoulder forward and back. Quickly, lightly. This time leaving the head facing forward. through with that, stand the left foot. Bring the left hip away from the floor and take the hand out slowly, gently. Bring it alongside. Extend the leg and rest. And bend the left leg and bring the foot to the floor so you stand it. Actually, I'm sorry, switch the legs, please. Bend the right leg. Take the right hip forward to bring the right hand behind the low back. You see where you can put it comfortably, and if that's different than it was before, and lower the hip and extend the leg. Now with the right leg long, now bend the left leg and stand it. And here, press through the left leg to turn the pelvis to the right. And as you do so, you can let the head roll a little bit. Take care with your shoulder here. It's constrained by the position of the right hand behind the low back. And begin to include taking the right shoulder forward. So it's the movement that contradicts a little bit the movement of the left hip coming forward. And the whole pelvis, the rib cage, the head turn to the right, and you lift the right shoulder a little bit to the left. You get a sense of the timing of this for yourself. It can be quite a small movement. Note where you mobilize to undertake this action, and if perhaps there's some place you do not need to mobilize in order to continue to do this action. Pressure of the left foot on the floor brings the left hip forward and a little to the right. Turn through the middle of yourself. The whole spine moves a little to the right, and you take the right shoulder forward there. And know what happens behind you on the floor. Sense of the interior surface of the right shoulder blade is like against the rib cage, how the ribs move on the floor. And then extend the left leg, and if you need to, stand the right leg to take the hip forward to remove the hand from behind the back. If you can comfortably take it out, do so. Thank you. however you wish to arrange it, bring the, what you do with the legs is up to you, but bring the left hand behind the low back. You see, does it go in a little bit more deeply or clearly? Can that be a little bit closer to the rib cage? Then extend the left leg and stand the right. And here, take up this symmetrical movement to the rolling the pelvis to the left, letting the whole spine turn to the left, the nose goes into the left, and take the left shoulder forward. And each time you turn to the left and bring the left shoulder forward, maybe bring your attention to some different aspect of the action, or just move it to somewhere, move your attention somewhere else, bring your attention somewhere else, to the rolling in the left hip joint perhaps, which is smaller, to the sensation of the right shoulder on the floor, the angle of the nose, sense of the tongue in the mouth. The belly, the action of breathing. Just get a sense how everything is included here, though the action is specific. Sense how the pressure at the back of the pelvis changes as you roll to the left, how that changes the shape of the rib cage. What happens in the front of the left shoulder as you bring it forward and roll the pelvis to the left? Then slowly extend the leg, taking care of yourself, doing what you like with the left leg, perhaps standing it to make some space behind the back. Bring the left arm slowly out and rest it alongside. Feldenkrais comments in the Alexandria and I lesson source here. Pay attention, the changes that this creates in the shoulder and the shoulder blades are big. If you leave the movement abruptly, it must hurt, or change the position abruptly. No one forces you to do abrupt movements. You can make the movement slowly. Classic kind of commentary that we sometimes see in lessons, and yet you get the sense of it. Yeah. Move with care and take care thereby of yourself. And bring both legs to stand. Turn the pelvis a little bit to the right so that you can slide the left palm behind the floor. So the left pelvis, side of the pelvis comes away from the floor. The pelvis rolls to the right. Get the right hand behind the low back. And then roll back onto that hand and bring the roll a little bit to the left so that you can bring the right hand on top of the left hand behind the low back. So the left palm is on the floor and the right palm is on the back of the left hand. Here you take care with yourself. You sort out a place that's relatively comfortable, and that comfort may change as we go. What part of the back of the hand is in contact with the other hand or the low back. And then slowly extend both legs or one leg and the other so that you can leave them both long with the, both hands behind the hand, behind the back. Now with the legs long here and a little bit spread, in a small movement, begin to rock the pelvis right to left and left to right. So you see immediately how you do that, or get a sense of how you do it. Do you press with the heel to push that side of the hip forward? Or do you, can you in fact, press less with the heel into the floor and use more of the musculature, the abdomen, the torso to turn the pelvis left and right? You make the movement small and gradually a little bit quick, so that a light small movement would just rock the pelvis left and right, right and left. And get a sense of how that, even that quick small movement, carries up through the abdomen into the rib cage. Though you're not pushing with your heels, how you feel each hip joint turn relative to the pelvis. And whether your sense of comfort with the hands behind the back changes. And pause and do what you like with your legs to accommodate, gently bringing the hands out from behind the back and taking them alongside. You can stand the one leg or the other. Just sort out how it is that you can turn the pelvis to take the hands out and rest on your back. All right, take up that position again, perhaps standing the legs first so that you can turn the pelvis one way and the other. And this time, place the palm of the right hand on the floor and stack the left hand on top of the right. Arrange the hands for a reasonable amount of comfort, and perhaps you've noted that it's changeable as we continue along. Perhaps becomes more comfortable. Extend the legs, and here with this other arrangement of the hands, take up this action again of rolling the pelvis right and left, rocking the pelvis. It's a small movement. And get a sense how that turning affects the legs, how it affects the low back and the rib cage. And for a moment, make the movement a little bit slow and take the head with the turning of the pelvis, so that as the pelvis rolls to the left, the head rolls to the left. As the head rolls to the right, the pelvis rolls to the right. You coordinate those two movements so that they become sort of one sense of the two movements. Perhaps it's one movement. And you can make the movement a little light and quick. Head rocks gently, the pelvis rocks gently. When you've got a clear sense of how those are coordinated, do a few more and then stand the legs, take out the hands gently, and bring them alongside and rest with the legs extended. Likely there's a way to take care of the shoulders by turning the hips here to put them in place behind the back or take them out. Stand the legs and bring the hands behind this time with the other arrangement, if you can remember how that was. Following the lesson, the left palm on the floor and the right palm on the left hand. Let's see if you can comfortably bring the hands a little bit more in the direction of the low ribs in the back. Extend the legs. And now begin to take the left side of the pelvis away from the floor and allow the whole spine to turn a little to the right, and with the legs long, spread a little bit. Maybe a small movement here. Let the pelvis tips to the right and the head goes to the right, and lift the right shoulder as well so that the right shoulder comes forward as the head rolls a little to the right. So again, it's that sort of contrary action. If you can do it here with your legs long, can just make it a small movement. Pelvis rolls to the right, the spine turns to the right, and the right shoulder lifts. As if you're looking to the right and bringing the right shoulder forward, and in a sense what happens in the rib cage in front of the right shoulder blade, that is where the ribs rest on the shoulder blade, on the interior surface there, how that whole the scapula, the shoulder blade there, slides along the ribs. The only bony connection there, in fact, is at the front, where the clavicle connects the shoulder blade and the sternum, in fact. Make the movement a little light, turning to your right and bringing the right shoulder forward. Take care that the breathing remains relatively unaffected by the movement, and the movement unaffected by the breathing. And pause, do what you like with the legs to switch the hands around so that the other one is on top. Then extend them again and take up this movement, but turning the pelvis, the head, the rib cage to the left as you bring the left shoulder forward. So track how the rolling of the pelvis, the turning of the spine in the low back, changes the shape of the ribcage on the hands and on the floor, what your sense of the left shoulder blade is like against the floor as the head turns to the left. And then as you pass through the middle, turn the head to the right and bring the right shoulder forward. So you go back and forth, turning the pelvis and the head to the right and left, and the bringing the shoulders forward to the left and the right, or on the left and the right, so that as you roll to the left shoulder comes forward. As you roll to the right shoulder comes forward. get a sense of what it's like to bring your attention to somewhere else than it already is, perhaps to the rolling of the heels on the floor if that's happening, the action in the pelvis, hip joints, sternum, how the angle of the chin changes in the room, where it points, expression on your face. And do what you need to do with your legs, perhaps standing them, to take the hands out comfortably, gently, slowly, bringing them alongside. Extend the arms and the legs and rest. And interlace the fingers of the hands. Bring the hands overhead to the floor. Rest the hands about 4 inches above the head, so there's a space of about 4 inches. What's it like here now to have your shoulders arranged in this way, your torso arranged in this way, your head and neck? And stand the right leg. Bring it just a little to the side, perhaps taking the left leg out a little too, so the legs are a little bit spread here. And think this through before you begin. You'll press with the right foot to roll the pelvis a little bit to the left, but look towards your right elbow. So with the eyes open and turning the nose to the right, sort that out, what it's like, this contrary, so-called contrary, or perhaps in a sense contrary movement of bringing the right hip forward as the head turns toward the right elbow. And then, once you got a sense of it, take it up. Just make it a small movement, a gentle movement. See what's required in the rib cage, pelvis, how the shoulder blades move, or the ribs move relative to the shoulder blades. Sense how the pelvis turns relative to the head. And staying in this position, pause when you're in the middle again, with the pelvis at rest and the head at rest, and think it through that you'll extend this movement so that you look, the right side of the pelvis will come away from the floor, the nose will turn toward the left elbow, and then it's as if you're going to look up along your right forearm from the elbow to the hand. You see what's necessary to see if you can gently look in the direction of your right hand here as the right shoulder. What do you need to do with the rolling of the head and the pointing of the nose, and then take it up. See if it's possible that the chin can come away from the chest, and you look up overhead, roll the head back a little bit to look at the right hand as the right side of the pelvis comes forward. See what's asked for in the head, how the chin comes away from the chest as you, after you roll a little to the right, the chin comes away from the right shoulder, and you look up overhead, perhaps rolling the head gently again, back toward the middle so you can look up in the direction of the right hand. And uninterlace the fingers. Lengthen the right leg and pause for a moment here. The arms and legs long. Interlace the fingers in the other way, likely the non-habitual way. Take the hands overhead and stand the left leg. Switch everything over to the other side here. Think it through, how you can press with the left foot and bring the left side of the pelvis away as you turn the head to the left, increasing the twist through the middle of yourself. Add in turning of the nose, and then gradually, as if you're drawing a line extended from the nose up from the elbow to the left hand, and opening the eyes and looking in the direction of the left hand as you turn the pelvis to the right. When you're ready, if you have not begun already, begin the movement. Note how the twist increases through the middle of yourself, and after you've turned the head to the left, the chin comes away from the chest, and you look as if to look along the left forearm from the elbow to the hands. Just sort out how you can. It's a relatively complex action. Sort out for yourself how to do it comfortably, in a way that makes sense to you. Note what it asks for, the asks of the shoulders, the low back, the shaping of the rib cage, the action of the head. Then extend the arms and legs alongside, extend the legs and the arms alongside, and rest. Using the legs to move the pelvis however you like in order to get the hands behind the back, switch them around so that the other one is close to the floor. See where you can comfortably get your hands now. It's not a contest of any kind. See if it's different or more comfortable than before perhaps, and extend the legs again. Here, if you can get them a little more clearly through and a little closer to the low ribs. Straight. And now, here, folding a little bit in the front, bring the head away from the floor very gently so that the chin comes forward first. So perhaps the back of the head slides on the floor a little bit, down to let the chin come forward. And see how the whole upper back can shape so the chin doesn't come closer to the chest, it comes away from the chest and goes forward in the room. So the back of the head slides a little on the floor. Just make this a light movement, so it's as if you're looking overhead just a little bit to allow the chin to come forward and lift. So the chin's, it's as if the chin was the first thing to come away from the floor. Maybe you even leave your head on the floor and slide the back of the head down in the direction of the shoulders. And then bring the head just a little bit away from the floor. And then make it a small movement. And choose your number, 10 at the upper bound, and do that number of movements. Or decide for yourself when that number is the number that's right at the moment. Sense how that organizes the whole base of the neck, the upper rib cage, the head. And when you've got your number, pause for a moment and then switch over the hands in however, in the way that you like. Bending the legs if you need to. And once you've rearranged the hands so the other one is close to the floor, the legs are long, take up this action again here in this with this organization of the arms. Make it a gentle movement. Back of the head slides, the chin comes away from the chest and then lifts in the direction of the ceiling. And get a sense of how the whole upper back and neck shape there to bring the chin forward in the direction of the ceiling. Do a little less than you need to. Make the movement a little bit smaller. Be intentional about the count so you know how many you do. And when you've done as many as you would like, rest the head. Pause here with the arms behind the back for just a few moments. And stand the legs and use them to turn the hips or lift the hips, however you like, to take the hands out from behind the back slowly, gently. Lengthen the arms alongside and extend the legs. And rest. Note your contact with the floor, particularly through the shoulder girdle. How the shoulder blades rest on the floor, right and left. What your sense of the shape of the low back, the whole spine is like. How the pelvis and the back of the head rest on the floor. What the angle of the face is like. Does the nose point a little more to one side or the other, or a little more up or down? Get a sense of length of the arms, how they extend out from the clavicles at the front, at the sternum, all the way out through the front of the shoulder, down the arms. Elbows, wrists, and hands. What the whole back of the shoulder and back of the arms is like resting on the floor. When you're ready, choose a side to roll to. Come to one side, then come to stand. Your feet on the hard floor. Pause in standing before you do anything else and just get a sense of how the arms hang here in standing. What your sense of the shoulder blades is like here in this orientation, this configuration, standing. Then be a walk around. See what you note of the movement of the arms and shoulders, the rib cage. See what your arms are like now. Thank you very much, everyone.